Edward was speeding away. I drove home slowly, carefully, muttering to myself the whole way. When I got home, I decided to make chicken enchiladas for dinner. It was a long process and it would keep me busy. While I was simmering the onions and chilies, the phone rang. I was almost afraid to answer it, but it might be Charlie or my mom. It was Jessica, and she was jubilant. Mike had caught her after school to accept her invitation. I celebrated with her briefly while I stirred. She had to go. She wanted to call Angela and Lauren to tell them. I suggested with casual innocence that maybe Angela, the shy girl who had biology with me, could ask Eric. And Lauren, a standoffish girl who had always ignored me at the lunch table, could ask Tyler. I'd heard he was still available. Jess thought that was a great idea. Now that she was sure of Mike, she actually sounded sincere when she said she wished I would go to the dance. I gave her my Seattle excuse. After I hung up, I tried to concentrate on dinner, dicing the chicken especially. I didn't want to take another trip to the emergency room. But my head was spinning, trying to analyze every word Edward had spoken today. What did he mean it was better if we weren't friends? My stomach twisted as I realized what he must have meant. He must see how absorbed I was by him. He must not want to lead me on. So we couldn't even be friends, because he wasn't interested in me at all. Of course he wasn't interested in me, I thought angrily, my eyes stinging, a delayed reaction to the onions. I wasn't interesting, and he was. Interesting, and brilliant, and mysterious, and perfect, and beautiful, and possibly able to lift full-size vans with one hand. Well, that was fine. I could leave him alone. I would leave him alone. I would get through my self-imposed sentence here in purgatory, and then hopefully some school in the Southwest, or possibly Hawaii, would offer me a scholarship. I focused my thoughts on sunny beaches and palm trees as I finished the enchiladas and put them in the oven. Charlie seemed suspicious when he came home and smelled the green peppers. I couldn't blame him. The closest edible Mexican food was probably in Southern California. But he was a cop, even if just a small-town cop, so he was brave enough to take the first bite. He seemed to like it. It was fun to watch as he slowly began trusting me in the kitchen. Dad? I asked when he was almost done. Yeah, Bella? I just wanted to let you know that I'm going to Seattle for the day, a week from Saturday, if that's okay. I didn't want to ask permission, it set a bad precedent, but I felt rude, so I tacked it on at the end. Why? He sounded surprised, as if he were unable to imagine something that Forks couldn't offer. Well, I wanted to get a few books. The library here is pretty limited, and maybe look at some clothes. I had more money than I was used to having, since, thanks to Charlie, I hadn't had to pay for a car. Not that the truck didn't cost me quite a bit in the gas department. That truck probably doesn't get very good gas mileage, he said, echoing my thoughts. I know. I'll stop in Montesano and Olympia and Tacoma if I have to. Are you going all by yourself? He asked. And I couldn't tell if he was suspicious I had a secret boyfriend or just worried about car trouble. Yes. Seattle is a big city. You could get lost, he fretted. Dad, Phoenix is 5 times the size of Seattle, and I can read a map. Don't worry about it. Do you want me to come with you? I tried to be crafty as I hid my horror. That's all right, Dad. I'll probably just be in dressing rooms all day. Very boring. Oh, okay. The thought of sitting in women's clothing stores for any period of time immediately put him off. Thanks, I smiled at him. Will you be back in time for the dance? Grr, only in a town this small would a father know when the high school dances were. No, I don't dance, Dad. He of all people should understand that. I didn't get my balance problems from my mother. He did understand. Oh, that's right, he realized. The next morning, when I pulled into the parking lot, I deliberately parked as far as possible from the silver Volvo. I didn't want to put myself in the path of too much temptation and end up owing him a new car. Getting out of the cab, I fumbled with my key and it fell into a puddle at my feet. As I bent to get it, a white hand flashed out and grabbed it before I could. I jerked upright. Edward Cullen was right next to me, leaning casually against my truck. "How do you do that?" I asked in amazed irritation. "Do what?" He held my key out as he spoke. As I reached for it, he dropped it into my palm. "Appear out of thin air?" "Bella, it's not my fault if you are exceptionally unobservant." His voice was quiet as usual, velvet, muted. I scowled at his perfect face. His eyes were light again today, a deep golden honey color. Then I had to look down to reassemble my now tangled thoughts. "Why the traffic jam last night?" I demanded, still looking away. "I thought you were supposed to be pretending I don't exist, not irritating me to death." "That was for Tyler's sake, not mine. I had to give him his chance," he snickered. "You..." I gasped. I couldn't think of a bad enough word. I felt like the heat of my anger should physically burn him, but he only seemed more amused. "And I'm not pretending you don't exist," he continued. "So you are trying to irritate me to death, since Tyler's van didn't do the job?" Anger flashed in his tawny eyes, his lips pressed into a hard line, all signs of humor gone. "Bella, you are utterly absurd," he said, his low voice cold. My palms tingled. I wanted so badly to hit something. I was surprised at myself. I was usually a non-violent person. I turned my back and started to walk away. "Wait," he called. I kept walking, sloshing angrily through the rain. But he was next to me, easily keeping pace. "I'm sorry, that was rude," he said as we walked. I ignored him. "I'm not saying it isn't true," he continued. "But it was rude to say it anyway." "Why won't you leave me alone?" I grumbled. "I wanted to ask you something, but you sidetracked me," he chuckled. He seemed to have recovered his good humor. "Do you have a multiple personality disorder?" I asked severely. "You're doing it again." I sighed. "Fine, then. What do you want to ask?" "I was wondering if, a week from Saturday, you know, the day of the spring dance..." "Are you trying to be funny?" I interrupted him, wheeling toward him. My face got drenched as I looked up at his expression. His eyes were wickedly amused. "Will you please allow me to finish?" I bit my lip and clasped my hands together, interlocking my fingers so I couldn't do anything rash. "I heard you say you were going to Seattle that day, and I was wondering if you wanted a ride." "That was unexpected." "What?" I wasn't sure what he was getting at. "Do you want a ride to Seattle?" "With who?" I asked, mystified. "Myself, obviously." He enunciated every syllable, as if he were talking to someone mentally handicapped. I was still stunned. "Why?" "Well, I was planning to go to Seattle in the next few weeks. And to be honest, I'm not sure if your truck can make it." "My truck works just fine. Thank you very much for your concern." I started to walk again, but I was too surprised to maintain the same level of anger. "But can your truck make it there on one tank of gas?" He matched my pace again. "I don't see how that is any of your business, stupid shiny Volvo owner." "The wasting of finite resources is everyone's business." "Honestly, Edward," I felt a thrill go through me as I said his name, and I hated it. "I can't keep up with you. I thought you didn't want to be my friend." "I said it would be better if we weren't friends, not that I didn't want to be." "Oh, thanks. Now that's all cleared up." Heavy sarcasm. I realized I had stopped walking again. We were under the shelter of the cafeteria roof now, so I could more easily look at his face, which certainly didn't help my clarity of thought. "It would be more prudent for you not to be my friend," he explained. "But I'm tired of trying to stay away from you, Bella." His eyes were gloriously intense as he uttered that last sentence, his voice smoldering. I couldn't remember how to breathe. "Will you go with me to Seattle?" he asked, still intense. I couldn't speak yet, so I just nodded. He smiled briefly, and then his face became serious. You really should stay away from me, he warned. I'll see you in class. He turned abruptly and walked back the way we'd come. Chapter 5. Blood Type. I made my way to English in a daze. I didn't even realize when I first walked in that class had already started. Thank you for joining us, Miss Swan, Mr. Mason said in a disparaging tone. I flushed and hurried to my seat. It wasn't till class ended that I realized Mike wasn't sitting in his usual seat next to me. I felt a twinge of guilt. But he and Eric both met me at the door as usual, so I figured I wasn't totally unforgiven. Mike seemed to become more himself as we walked, gaining enthusiasm as he talked about the weather report for this weekend. The rain was supposed to take a minor break, and so maybe his beach trip would be possible. I tried to sound eager, to make up for disappointing him yesterday. It was hard, rain or no rain, it would still only be in the high 40s if we were lucky. The rest of the morning passed in a blur. It was difficult to believe that I hadn't just imagined what Edward had said and the way his eyes had looked. Maybe it was just a very convincing dream that I'd confused with reality. That seemed more probable than that I had really appealed to him on any level. So I was impatient and frightened as Jessica and I entered the cafeteria. I wanted to see his face, to see if he'd gone back to the cold, indifferent person I'd known for the last several weeks. Or if by some miracle, I'd really heard what I thought I'd heard this morning. Jessica babbled on and on about her dance plans. Lauren and Angela had asked the other boys, and they were all going together, completely unaware of my inattention. Disappointment flooded through me as my eyes unerringly focused on his table. The other four were there, but he was absent. Had he gone home? I followed the still babbling Jessica through the line, crushed. I'd lost my appetite. I bought nothing but a bottle of lemonade. I just wanted to go sit down and sulk. Edward Cullen is staring at you again, Jessica said, finally breaking through my abstraction with his name. I wonder why he's sitting alone today. My head snapped up. I followed her gaze to see Edward, smiling crookedly, staring at me from an empty table across the cafeteria from where he usually sat. Once he caught my eye, he raised one hand and motioned with his index finger for me to join him. As I stared in disbelief, he winked. Does he mean you? Jessica asked with insulting astonishment in her voice. Maybe he needs help with his biology homework, I muttered for her benefit. I'd better go see what he wants. I could feel her staring after me as I walked away. When I reached his table, I stood behind the chair across from him, unsure. Why don't you sit with me today? He asked, smiling. I sat down automatically, watching him with caution. He was still smiling. It was hard to believe that someone so beautiful could be real. I was afraid that he might disappear in a sudden puff of smoke and I would wake up. He seemed to be waiting for me to say something. This is different, I finally managed. Well, he paused, and then the rest of the words followed in a rush. I decided as long as I was going to hell, I might as well do it thoroughly. I waited for him to say something that made sense. The seconds ticked by. You know, I don't have any idea what you mean, I eventually pointed out. I know. He smiled again, and then he changed the subject. I think your friends are angry with me for stealing you. They'll survive. I could feel their stares boring into my back. I may not give you back, though, he said with a wicked glint in his eyes. I gulped. He laughed. You look worried. No, I said, but ridiculously my voice broke. Surprised, actually. What brought all this on? I told you. I got tired of trying to stay away from you. So I'm giving up. He was still smiling, but his ochre eyes were serious. Giving up? I repeated in confusion. Yes. Giving up trying to be good. I'm just gonna do what I want now and let the chips fall where they may. His smile faded as he explained, and a hard edge crept into his voice. You lost me again. The breathtaking crooked smile reappeared. I always say too much when I'm talking to you,